Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you, as always, by InsideThePenguins.com, a proud affiliate of the Hockey News. I'm your host, Nick Berlansky, joined, as always, by Nick Horwat. We have plenty to talk about today, but before we get into any of that, obviously some somber news that came across late last night and was confirmed early this morning by the Pittsburgh Penguins. Former Penguin Konstantin Koltsov passed away yesterday, from what reports are saying. The Penguins released a statement earlier this morning that read as such: "The Penguins extend their deepest condolences to the family and friends of former Penguins forward Konstantin Koltsov. The native of Belarus was the Penguins' first-round draft choice in 1999 and was with the team from 2003 to 2006, playing 144 NHL games. Konstantin was a teammate of both Sidney Crosby and Mario Lemieux during the 2005-2006 season. Personally, I obviously remember Konstantin Koltsov from a couple of the first teams that I remember even watching from the Penguins. He was a vaunted member of the X generation, and obviously to hear this news is gut-wrenching. And I'm obviously, you know, thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to his family and friends, but not a good way to a good piece of news to wake up to. It's very unfortunate, obviously one that you never want to see come across the news line there.
Yeah, these are hard things to wake up to always, no matter what. Doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter the age, and just making him, you know, only 42 makes it tougher in this situation. And you're right, yeah, just one of the first teams that we can remember watching. It's really unfortunate. I also, weirdly, I can remember when Evgeny Malkin broke into the league, because he also, Koltsov also wore 71. I remember thinking, oh, that means Koltsov's not on the team anymore, because the number 71 went to Malkin. And that's pretty much how I learned that. And yeah, it's just unfortunate. I think it's, I don't remember much of his play either. I mean, that's just how young we were. And that's how, I don't want to say how bad the team was, but that's also just how unmemorable the team could be. But you remember those names and faces, and he was definitely one of them. Skated like the wind, though. Mm-hmm. Could absolutely breeze, and just going to be, I mean, it's just an unfortunate situation, and, you know, don't know all the details. Actually, the first tweet about it said it was unconfirmed reports, so, but with everything, you know, confirmed this morning, it's an unfortunate thing to wake up to, so, mm-hmm. Sad day for the Penguins, the hockey world, and his friends and family as well.
Yeah, and obviously we're gonna make a hard right here, as has to happen, you know, in this industry a lot. We have some stuff we want to talk about, but, you know, before, we wanted to obviously send out thoughts and prayers and recognize the life and the time in Pittsburgh spent by Konstantin Koltsov. But we will talk a little bit more. We have obviously some discussion about Michael Bunting that we want to talk about. We haven't really discussed him much since he joined the Penguins, and he's played now six games. We're going to talk a little bit about what he's brought in this new feel, even though it's kind of familiar for the Penguins. There's a player that Horwat had Mike Sullivan compare him to. I know you've been looking for that since he got acquired, so getting that on Sunday after the game against the Red Wings was a nice little tip of the cap to you. The Penguins also sent back Jack St. Ivany to the American Hockey League. We'll talk a little bit about the confusion surrounding his situation and why he didn't get into the lineup in his couple of days with the NHL club. And then we'll have our weekly Pens poll as we do every Tuesday to close things out. But let's start it off with Michael Bunting. He's bringing a new energy to this Penguins team right now. Six games played, has 3 points in that time, two of them being goals, and he leads all Penguins in expected goals with 6.07 in that time, according to Natural Stat Trick. So what is it about his game, Horwat, that has quickly grabbed everybody's attention?
It is that drive the net, that net front, getting to the blue paint stuff. It's, you know, getting those ugly goals, scoring from in tight, up close. He has, like, of his goals this season, I think, like, two of them are from outside of, like, 5-6 feet or something weird like that. And that stems all the way back to his Toronto Maple Leaf days, too. Looking at NHL Edge, I think the number is only, like, oh, there it is.
This season's.
He's got one outside, or four, I guess, outside of that high danger area, as the NHL likes to call it. And stemming back his entire career, it's a similar situation. The ratio is essentially the same, where it's all of his goals are happening right in the blue paint or right above it, whereas only a handful come from outside of it. And like you said, I got Mike Sullivan to finally say he's comparable to Patrick Hornquist. Mm-hmm. You know, Sullivan said that they've had guys that, you know, have been able to sort of fill that role in, but Michael Bunting makes it different. He makes it more noticeable, like Hornquist could. And it's something this team has needed, genuinely. It's something that the team has missed since Hornquist stays here. And it's a breath of fresh air for very good reason. And, I wasn't trying to get Sullivan to say that, but it was what everyone was thinking already. Mm-hmm. We all kind of were drawing that comparison ourselves. Just hearing it from the horse's mouth finally felt good to know that we are all on the same page and that Michael Bunting brings a role that is going to stick around for a while.
Yeah, this was Sullivan's quote after the Detroit Red Wings game. Quote, he has a semblance of Patrick Hornquist, just his ability to get to the blue paint, make goalies' life difficult. It's really important aspect of creating offense. And I think even outside of looking at his game, a lot of the situation certainly looks like an echo of Patrick Hornquist. I'm not going to say they're one for one identical. They're not, but their situations are similar in the way that they got to Pittsburgh. Brought in exchange for 40 goal scorer. Hornquist came to the Penguins in exchange for James Neal back in that trade with Nashville, who was a 40 goal scorer for the Penguins. Obviously, Jake Guentzel, a little bit more consistent as a 40 goal scorer for the Penguins, but exchanged for Michael Bunting and some more pieces. Does a lot of his work in the net front, like we showed there, via NHL Edge. 8 of his goals are coming from just a little further away from the net, but still the middle of the ice. And I think that's the big thing with Michael Bunting is all of his offense, not a little bit, all of his offense comes from the middle of the ice and not up high. It comes from the middle of the ice, down low or right into that slot area. And that's something the Penguins have been missing. I mean, Mike Sullivan can say, yeah, we've had players that go to the net front in the past or throughout this time between Hornquist and now, but they haven't done it with a lot of success and they haven't done it with the scoring ability that Michael Bunting brings. So I think that's something that is, as you mentioned, certainly been missing for the Penguins. But also, I think there's one easy way to judge it, and it's kind of a hard thing to quantify, but it's something that when you see it, you recognize it. And that's the gravity that he brings to the ice. When he's in front of the net, bodies have to gravitate towards him because they know he's a threat to score off the rebound. He's a threat to make life difficult for the goaltender. He's going to stay in there and he's going to take away the eyes. He's going to shield the shot. That's something that I think the Penguins have some players that'll go to the net front, but a lot of them fly by, they dip in and they pull out whenever the shot comes in. Michael Bunting's somebody that's going to stay there, and he's going to stay in goaltender's kitchen, and he's going to be able to put the goals away. He's going to be able to find those goals whenever they're on the rebound. You saw it on Sunday when he was falling to the ice. He just found the rebound and was able to put it away. That's something the Penguins need, and that's something that if Michael Bunting can bring, it's going to be huge for this team going forward. He's under contract for 2 more years, of course, but that ability to not only get under people's skin, but have that work ethic and have that goal scoring finish in front of the net is certainly something that the Penguins are going to be benefiting from, hopefully for the next couple of years, and hopefully it really solidifies his role in Pittsburgh, because when players come over in exchange for somebody that has been so beloved like Jake Guentzel, you always think, all right, well, he's starting on his back foot already because people are going to look at him as the Jake Guentzel replacement. I think what's good about this, and you've mentioned it a couple of times around the trade deadline, it's a smart fan base. They're seeing this as a separate player. They're not, obviously you're going to have the connection because they were traded for each other, but you're not seeing people hold it against Bunting that he was traded for Jake Guentzel. And I think that's a good thing for him as well, but it's certainly been a good start for him, obviously, and excited to see how he grows with the top six here.
Yeah, Michael Bunting's the type of guy that I've been shouting for the Penguins to acquire since Kyle Dubas got here, because he's got that Kyle Dubas connection, and a former Sioux Greyhound. All of the things were lining up for Kyle Dubas to sort of target him, and he'd be a perfect fit because of that net front presence that the Penguins haven't had, because of that sort of grittiness that the team hasn't had until John Ludvig got here. I mean, that's he brought two missing pieces. Or he would have brought two missing pieces then. I can remember thinking, though, he's going to cost a lot. I think the Hurricanes were asking for a first-round pick a long time ago. Well, the price ended up being pretty high. It just ended up being that the Penguins were in the mode of selling Jake Guentzel, and it made a bit more of a difference rather than the Hurricanes are looking to sell him for a first-round pick, plus, plus, plus. It was, here's... And when you look at it, the Guentzel and Michael Bunting part of it, well, they're not super comparable. That was the hockey part, the hockey trade portion of that whole deal. It was, here's the NHL players going back and forth. And again, he's not going to score 40. He's not going to bring the same sort of offensive touch, but he's going to bring something that this team has missed. Mm-hmm. If Kyle Dubas can go out this offseason and find someone who can put up Jake Guentzel-like numbers, then you know you're not super worried about what had just happened.
Yeah, Jake Guentzel-like numbers, that would be nice. I think we all agree that that's going to be a diamond-in-the-rough proposition. It's going to be hard for him to go out and find that. But honestly, with Michael Bunting alone, you look at what he's been able to do. He's played with both Crosby and Malkin at this point. Who would you prefer him play with more the remainder of the season? Now, ideally, he can play with both, and he's played with both in his first six games. With Crosby, outscored 6-1 at 5-on-5. Certainly not the greatest of starts, but that was also him coming over directly after the trade, trying to get his feet underneath him. Not to mention Sidney Crosby was in the midst of probably his season's worst stretch. But also, they created 4.07 expected goals per 60. That's a lot of offense they were able to create. They just weren't able to, you know, stem the tide defensively. And then you look at what he's done with Malkin in just 28 minutes, 2-2 in goals, but also 4 goals expected per 60 minutes. So a lot of offensive creation with Michael Bunting on both of these lines so far. Is there a line that you would prefer that he plays with the remainder of this season?
I'm trying to remember where Hornquist played, because I would stick him in that same spot. Was it? I know he didn't play with Malkin much, but did he mostly play with Crosby?
He played a lot with Crosby and Kunitz before you started to see Sherry come in, and you started to see, you know, guys like Jake Guentzel get their opportunity and Brian Rust.
I mean, I guess Hornquist was the H of the HBK line too, so.
No, he wasn't. That was Hagelin.
That was Hagelin. Oh, goodness.
Hornquist was, I believe, on the second line in the first line in 2016, yes. Second line in 2017, whenever it was Sid and the kids with Jake.
Until he got hurt. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Long morning, and I've only been awake for about 10 minutes of it.
Yes.
So, that being said, I would say the second line, if it wakes Malkin up a little more. Sidney Crosby, we know, can wake up by himself. He can carry his own load. He can carry whoever he gets placed or gets pinned with. Mm-hmm. Whereas Malkin, as he's hitting his later stages here, you can see the legs aren't necessarily there anymore. The skill is, and the drive is there. Mm-hmm. He's just now has to find ways to finish. He's got to find ways to add that new element. And I think Michael Bunting might be able to help it. A, clearing space. B, getting to the net and banging things home. Mm-hmm. There's all kind of positives that can come for Malkin with Michael Bunting on his wing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, I mean, obviously not a long-term solution, not a, hey, make sure he only plays with this guy, but the creating space aspect is huge, because Sidney Crosby, we've seen, even to this day at 36 years old, doesn't need a lot of space to create offense. He doesn't need a lot of space to find that, you know, threaded pass, needle pass right over to Brian Rust. Michael Bunting could use that gravity, as I mentioned earlier, which closes the zone, makes everybody in the defensive side collapse a little bit more to him, and opens up some lanes for Evgeny Malkin to work so he doesn't have to do it in a phone booth, because Evgeny Malkin isn't going to stick handle in a phone booth through everybody on the defensive side anymore. That's just not Evgeny Malkin. But if Michael Bunting can create that space for him, I kind of like that duo. And obviously, right now it's been working. Those two have been together for the last couple of games, and the Penguins offense has, you know, succeeded because of it. And part of that is also the third line, which I touched on yesterday, but the Penguins forwards, as currently constructed, are working out pretty well over the last couple of games. And I think when you look at, obviously, Mike Sullivan always liking his pairings, Crosby's other half is now gone, so you have to find a new guy for him. I think Brian Rust fits that mold very well. And honestly, I think the trade of Jake Guentzel might, you know, not benefit Brian Rust, but I think you could see his numbers spike a little bit more because he'll probably become the number one guy and the number one option that Crosby's going to be looking for. But I like the Rust, Crosby, Bunting, Malkin type of pairings. And then you have O'Connor as a floater who's proven to perform well with either guy. And then you just plug in, whether it's Raquel, whether it's Poston, whether it's Riley Smith, who on whichever spot is left open after that. So I like the way the Penguins top six is constructed at this moment, at least for this season. Obviously, you're going to need some changes in the offseason. You're going to need better allocated cap space. But, you know, Michael Bunting has certainly brought a new fresh face to this Penguins top six. And the way he plays, as you mentioned, is a breath of fresh air. So interesting that he's already becoming a fan favorite. I did not have that on my bingo card. I thought fans would kind of hold it against him a little bit longer, but, you know, the way he plays, hard on his sleeve, getting under people's skin, drawing penalties and scoring goals, who's not going to like that? But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jack St. Ivany already gone. We'll talk about why he's gone and why he didn't get an opportunity to play when he was with the NHL level. We'll be right back.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. A little bit of news for you from Monday afternoon. The Penguins reassigned Jack St. Ivany, defenseman, back to the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. He was with the Penguins on an emergency basis. Now, I might not have been paying the closest of attention, I guess, but I didn't know he was in on an emergency basis, but that explains why he didn't get into lineup, because he was only up in the absence of one of the top six for the Penguins. If they were unable to go, that's why he was going to be recalled. That's why he was up on an emergency basis. And that's also why he didn't play, because those six ended up all being able to go on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, the Penguins just aren't burning their call-ups quite yet.
Nope.
I cannot draw conclusions. I cannot assume anything right now, considering the Penguins are somehow still in that playoff hunt, still in the race, but also very easily could be out of it and should be out of it at this point. So I can't really nail down any rhyme or reason for, you know, him being yo-yoed on paper back and forth with emergency recalls. But what I can say is he obviously was healthy scratched for a couple of games and not getting in, despite Kyle Dubas having glowing words to say about him, which I think is understandable. Everyone's going to have glowing words to say about Jack St. Ivany because he's had that good of a season at the AHL level, more of a defensive mindset. I think I texted you when we thought he can make his NHL debut, saying seems like a young Brian Dumoulin type, where he's willing to kind of do whatever it is to make the play work, have the team succeed, just whatever it is. Just ask for it and he'll give it to you. It's a good type of player to have. Everyone's going to speak highly. And also, just the scary part is he is the third best right shot defenseman in the organization right now, because there are only four.
Yeah. Yeah. He was recalled on an emergency basis, which according to the NHL's guidebook says that there were not six healthy defensemen for the Penguins, or at least there was a threat to not have six healthy defensemen on the NHL roster. So somebody's dealing with some bumps and bruises, hence the reason he was called up on emergency basis and obviously sent down. If you go to Cap Friendly, it's about six straight Jack St. Ivanys, recalled, sent back, and stuff like that. So interesting to see, obviously, that it was an emergency. I didn't see that on their initial, at least, tweet from the Penguins, but that's why you always got to check Cap Friendly, who has that narrowed down, which means the Penguins still have three regular call-ups remaining this season. They burned one with Jonathan Gruden directly after the NHL's trade deadline, but they do have three more. Vasily Ponomarev scored a goal, his first as a member of the Penguins organization. You have, obviously, Sam Poulin, who a lot of people are chomping at the bit to see, so three regular call-ups remain in the final month of the season, but it is interesting that St. Ivany is the guy that they, you know, tabbed during those injury, you know, issues, because, as you mentioned, Kyle Dubas had glowing words to say about him last week on the GM show, and I think that it wouldn't be surprising if he got the opportunity a little bit later in the season. I think what you're seeing right now is a couple of half-decent games from John Ludwig and P.O. Joseph, and the Penguins are rewarding them by keeping them in the lineup, but if one of them falls off, there's no reason that you can use one of those three regular call-ups on a guy like Jack St. Ivany, who has yet to make his NHL debut, and give him an opportunity to make that debut and see what he has and if he becomes an option to get into that training camp fight next year for the bottom pairing. Obviously, there's a lot that could change between now and then, but St. Ivany is a guy that they signed back in 2022, and he, similar to what we've seen from a guy like Drew O'Connor, has just built up year after year and just kind of grown his stock within the franchise, and now you're seeing him start to get a little bit of attention at the NHL level thanks to a really stellar season at the American League level. So interesting to see St. Ivany, whether or not he'll be called up again. If he is, that means somebody's still dealing with an injury. We don't know who that is at this moment. I don't know if you, obviously, been around the team every day, if you have any inkling of who's, obviously, we're at game, what, 66? People are dealing with bumps and bruises, but which of them is enough to be able to warrant the NHL granting the Penguins an emergency call-up? I think that much is unseen as of this very moment. But let's move on to a little piece of news that Chris Johnston of The Athletic actually threw out here. We're going to talk really quickly about the fact that he tweeted yesterday, the NHL will follow 10 to 12 NHL players throughout the entirety of a season and use it to make a docuseries with Amazon, and it's due for a fall release, which makes me wonder, has this already been happening this season and nobody was aware of it? I mean, similar to Netflix's Quarterback, nobody was aware that they were following around Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota that first season, and then it came out and everybody loved it. So there might already be 10 to 12 NHL players that have been followed around all season long, which makes me very excited about what the finished product would be. Horwat, what do you think about a docuseries following around about a dozen NHL players for the entirety of a season?
I'll say this. I don't know if they've already been filming it, because I feel like the way media is in and around the players at certain times, I feel like maybe someone would be like, why is there an extra camera crew here? Who are you? But again, I could be totally wrong in just with making that sort of baseless claim. But I think it'll be absolutely totally interesting. It'll be awesome to see, no matter who it is. I'm just curious as to who it could be, because let's just be honest, also, a lot of these guys are boring. They don't really not express themselves, but they're really just kind of focused on their game, focused on staying healthy, and focused on their team and winning and all of the classic mumbo-jumbo. But like we've seen with Penguins in the Room in the past, there are certain guys that absolutely have that charisma, that style, and that camera friendliness. It could be interesting if they find the right players.
Well, let's do that job for them. Who are the right players? I mean, let's quickly just pick one Penguin, one non-Penguin, who you think would be interesting to follow along. I'll lead it off, because I'm very intrigued to hear what you think about this option from the Penguin side of things. Give me Chris Letang. Not only because he's an all-world defenseman, not only because he's an aging member of the core here, but because it'd be like a buddy cop movie with him and POJ. How does that dynamic work? You know, on the ice, off the ice. You know, I'd be interested to see if the camera crew followed Chris Letang around. Also, I feel like behind closed doors, I mean, even not behind closed doors, he's a pretty fun and easygoing type of guy. I would be interested to see how behind closed doors he acts and he leads this Penguins blue line. And then for non-Penguin, Give me either Jack Eichel or William Karlsson. What is it like to be a star in Vegas? Especially coming off of that Stanley Cup win, especially being as talented as these two guys are. And Jack Eichel, a couple of the behind-the-scenes things of Jack Eichel have at least piqued my interest. And Wild Bill Karlsson, how can you go with anybody else after that Stanley Cup parade speech last year? So those are my options. Letang with the Penguins. Without the Penguins, give me Eichel or Karlsson of Vegas.
I feel like this is a conversation we've had before.
We have.
When it comes, when it comes to in the Penguins, I like your Letang answer. I just don't think it's something he would go for, having a camera follow him at all times. So I'm gonna hit you with the alternative and say P.O. Joseph. How about that?
You get
that taste, and also P.O. just has that charisma and camera friendliness that he'd be good for the role. Plus, you see, it's a different angle of P.O. Joseph because it is a guy kind of still fighting for that NHL spot.
Yeah.
And as for outside the Penguins, I'm gonna cheat a little again and say former Penguin Jason Zucker, because that dude's got it all. He can play well. He can be good on camera. He's funny and has a he's a family man too. So he's got all of the elements for a good follow you around show.
That and his wife is incredibly entertaining. She's a former radio host of Minnesota.
Yes, those two, obviously.
Everybody remembers, you mentioned in the room, everybody remembers her and Jason end up going as chauffeurs to the Penguins Halloween party and picking up players and actually renting out Chevy Tahoes and picking up players with the white glove service. So very, very interesting. I would love to see Jason Zucker now on a Stanley Cup playoff team with the Nashville Predators. Could you imagine if they were following him from the beginning of the season? You go through being traded at the deadline. That, I mean, again, peak entertainment, at least for NHL fans. I don't think this is going to be something that breaks into national media like Quarterback did for Netflix, but it's something that will service NHL fans who are hungry for a little bit more of these players' personalities. But I think it'll be interesting. I'm intrigued to see which 10 to 12 players, if they already started it, who they picked, or if they're going to start it, who they end up picking. But definitely something I'll be keeping my eye on, because that's something that I always enjoy. And without the in the rooms this year, I think we're all starved for it as people who follow the Pittsburgh Penguins. But we're going to take a quick break when we return, finishing off this episode with our weekly Pens poll. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by Inside the Penguins, a proud affiliate of the Hockey News. It is a Tuesday. It is the third segment, so you know what that means, Horo. We're rocking with our weekly Pens poll. We threw it out on X at Iceberg Podcast. Wanted to get your opinion, wanted to get your input, wanted to get you involved in the show, and this is how we did it this week. Sidney Crosby currently sits just over a point per game at 1.01 points per game exactly. Will he finish 2023-24 with on or over a point per game for the 19th consecutive season, which would bring him into a tie with Wayne Gretzky for the not just most all-time, but the most to start a career all-time? On Twitter, or X, whatever you like to call it, 84% of voters said he will finish with over 82. 9% of voters think they're the best gamblers in the world and said exactly 82 points. And only 7% said no, he's probably going to finish with under 82 points and lose that record for consecutive seasons over a point per game to start a career. Or what? What say you? Do you think he gets over exactly or under 82 points when the season comes to a close here in about 4 weeks?
I'm going to go with the over. I'll take the over on it. He's going to hit that stride again. I think maybe these last couple of weeks were just sort of time off almost. Obviously recuperating from a Jake Guentzel trade and not a great run for the team. As the playoffs remain in view and that percentage stays above zero, they're going to keep going for it, and they're going to need him to be a big part of it. So I could see him piling up, you know, a couple of 2-3 point nights in the near future here, and reaching that 82-point mark and then going past it for the 19th straight season, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you there, especially because, I mean, you look at last year, yes, he finished slow. 10 points in his last 14 games. We're approaching that last 14-game type of space here, but he just had his cold streak. Do we really think he's going to finish the year with 25 games of a cold streak? No. And yeah, he's had a pretty good last couple of games, points in three straight, one goal, three assists, including a two-point performance against the Detroit Red Wings. But with the Penguins, you mentioned it, with them backing their way into a sniffing distance of a playoff spot right now, I believe 6 points out of both Washington and now I believe only 6 points back of Philadelphia as well, because they've started to drop. With that little glimmer of hope and him already struggling a little bit, not to mention the fact that he's outside of his comfort zone, he doesn't have the safety blanket of Jake Guentzel, he's going to try to, as you would say, do it himself. I could see him getting over 82, because it's a base level for him right now. He doesn't need to go even a point per game. He's 1 point over. I believe he has 66 points in 65 games at this point. So I could see him, if you would have asked me this last week, I would have said, I don't know. I've never seen Crosby struggle this much at this point of the season with the season on the line. But you look at what they've done the last couple of games. You look at the fact that they've gotten scoring from around the lineup, which should take some pressure off his shoulders and allow him to play a little bit more freely, which is also going to give him, you know, better opportunities, I think. I agree with you. I think he's going to finish over 82. And honestly, I think that there's a chance that, you know, you got games against Detroit coming up where he just had a multi-point performance. Last year, we all asked, is he going to even reach the 500th goal plateau? And then he played Detroit and that made it very, very easy. So he has another game against Detroit, got another game against Philly, who he succeeds against. He has another game against the Islanders, who he likes to put in a lot of points against. So I think it's lining up for Crosby to, you know, keep that history intact. And I think that's obviously a very small consolation prize for the Penguins. And hopefully, as he does that, he continues to win hockey games for the Penguins and get them closer to this, what I would deem a miracle in getting back into the playoff spot. I mean, obviously, it's a miracle for the Penguins simply because it was a probably Greek tragedy for Detroit and Philadelphia, who have fallen off at the levels that they have. But, you know, it's going to take Sidney Crosby being great. And honestly, with the exception of last year, he's really never disappointed in that category. So I'm going to bet on him again, because 99% of the time or 95% of the time or what have you, he ends up coming up big in the big moments. And I think that that'll get him over 82 points once again this season.
Absolutely, it should. Just this drive to the playoffs, it should, no matter what way you spin it, look at it. And I think, I know the counting stats don't really matter to him too much, but he'll want to achieve something like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that he's going to look at during the season, but after the season, he'll probably be like, oh, that's cool, I tied Gretzky, which he did in the last game as well anyway. Most goals with a single franchise, he tied Wayne Gretzky. It's just, every other day, it seems like he's tying an all-time great or passing an all-time great. So certainly enjoy it if you're a Penguins fan, because you don't know when the next time you're going to see this much greatness play on a team, especially for 20 consecutive years. With the way the NHL is now and everybody moves around, it's not going to be very often that you get to see somebody spend his entire career and break all these records with one organization. But that's going to do it for this episode of The Tip of the Iceberg. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you. What, Thursday's our next episode, but we have plenty of episodes between now and then. Penguins take on the New Jersey Devils later tonight. We'll see if they're able to continue climbing that mountain towards a playoff spot. We'll see you guys next time.